Good morning again. Glad to see you here in the house of the Lord this day. Jesus made a lot of statements, and he made one that we're going to focus on today when he said, "I have overcome the world." Jesus said that. Aren't you glad? You look around the world, and you know, we don't want to be all pessimistic and all that kind of stuff, but we don't have to look too far and see that there's sin, there's problems, there's opportunities, so on and so forth. But Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And I'm glad that he has, and I'm glad that he paid it all. Amen? Beautiful. Life ought to come with Emmanuel. You know, we all talk about our first child, and her name was Jennifer in our case, and how we're fortunate she survived and all the things we had to learn. She ought to come with Emmanuel, but she didn't. So by the time we got to number three, you know, we thought we knew what we were doing, and I'm still not sure. But we can have a little tag that says, you know, the side effects of life. Every newborn baby ought to have Emmanuel to tell us all about the adventure and the joy that they bring and all that. But then on the other side of the tag, I guess it should say life is unpredictable. I guess it should say there'll be illness and things won't always go just the way you think they should, and even could talk about betrayal or sorrow and all those things we don't want to talk about. On the screen, you see with me John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Take heart. I've overcome the world. You're going to have some trouble. Excuse me. It's that time of year that you just never know if it's hot, if it's cold, if it's whatever. To me, it's always hot. So, take heart. I've overcome the world. That means wherever you're at today, the good, the mountaintop, the valley, the bad spot, Jesus says, take heart. I've overcome the world, and I'm glad that he has. As Christian people, as witnessing to people and just living life, how many times have we heard the why question? Why did this happen? Why does bad things happen to good people? What is going on here in our world or my personal life? It's up front. It's up close. And why is this happening? Well, we're human beings, and that why question comes up. It did in the Old Testament with Job. It did with the writers of the Psalms. It's been there because we're human. We look at the news, and we see all the political news. You can't seem to get away from it. Then at other times, we hear about famines, and we hear about AIDS, and we hear about this, that, or the other, and we think, mercy, how negative, and what is all that kind of stuff? And we experience 9/11, and we have all sorts of things in this thing called life. How many times have someone said to me, if there's a loving and powerful God, why is this stuff happening? Have you ever been asked that as a Christian or in conversation with people? If there's a loving and powerful God, why is all this happening? I get that question quite often. why is all this stuff happening? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:12 on the screen, if you'll look, it says, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." So right now we see things a little dimly. We don't have all the answers. We don't see all of the picture and what all that God is up to. We see parts of it. So that why question we're prompted to ask. Why? Why is this happening? Look with me at the next slide. Very important, and you know this. We just need to be reminded of it. God is not the creator of evil and suffering. So many people, when we get confused about things, or when things in our up-close personal life or around the world just don't seem to add up, there's people who want to say, well, it must be God's fault. I say to you today, God is not the creator of evil and suffering. He has not been, he will never be, that is not him. Well, why didn't God just create the world where there would be no suffering at all? And my answer to that is, he did. Now, how can I prove that? I can go back to Genesis 1:31, and it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. What God had made and all the creation and what he did, it was very good, according to Genesis 1:31. So God's not the author of pain. He's not the author of suffering or death. So where did they come from? Well, God never makes a mistake, but when he gave you and I a free will, it would be close to that. We were given free will. We get to choose how we live. We get to choose what we do. We get to choose to accept God or reject God. And God gave us that free will. Real love is a choice. Do you believe that? Real love is a choice. Well, I met Judy and she is the prettiest thing. We fell in love and man, I'm telling you, she's just the one. That's a long time ago, several years ago. She's still beautiful. She's still the one. But I guarantee you there was one time through those 30-some years I had to choose to love her. Now look at all those faces. I've got your attention now. I guarantee you there was more times in those 30-some years that she had to choose to love me. You know? She had to choose to do that. And you know what I'm talking about. We have wonderful blessings and times, but there's times over the years it's like, you know, that why question. Why did that happen or whatever? And it's about I choose to love. And that's what real love is. We choose to love. And God gave us that free will. He allows us to choose to love him. We're not robots. And he didn't make us that way. And he gave us free will to love him or not. And unfortunately, as human... I made her mad and she took the youngest child with her. I'm in trouble. Forgive me, Lord, and forgive me, Judy. But we have that free will. And then if we reject God, if we push him off to the side... You know, sometimes he says, okay, if that's what you want, you can have it that way. So evil comes, moral evil, natural evil. Moral evil is that immorality and pain and suffering that comes when we choose to be selfish, when we choose to be uncaring, when we choose to be hateful. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, you got two hands. Look at your hands. And they're beautiful hands. You ladies, look at your hands. You see your pretty fingernails? Look at my hand, you know. I don't have pretty fingernails. You got hands here. Now you look at them. You can choose to pick up a gun and shoot someone with it. You can choose that. Or you can look at your hands and say, I choose to feed the hungry and work to do that. It is a choice that we make. And we have all sorts of choices to make. And it's certainly wrong for someone to choose to pick up a weapon and shoot somebody and blame God for the evil in the world. Because God didn't have anything to do with that. People choose to do those things. We have natural evils that are defined as earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and things like that that we don't have any control of. And, you know, when we reject God, he can honor our request and say, okay, have at it. There's a scripture that says, Romans 8:22 on the screen, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Even the earth groans according to that scripture because of the choices we've made and evil in the world. God did not create evil, suffering, and death. He did not do that. Our free will brought about, our rejection of God brought about that kind of thing. Well, couldn't God see that? People have asked. Couldn't God see that people would reject Him and that kind of thing? Yes, He certainly did. But I say to you, when you were having children, and some are still in that mode, did you know that they might disappoint you one day? Did you know that your children could turn from what you've taught them and go a different way? Yes, you know that. But yet you chose to have children because you also know the joy they can bring. You also know that deep love you have for them and how you want them to succeed in life and to know God and to be a productive people in society, and the potential is so great for them. But you also know they can mess up. They can disappoint you. I believe it's the same thing with God. He had a love for mankind. He created everything, and He said it's very good. And He created us, and He knew, yes, we can't say, well, did He not know man would fail and all that? Yes, I believe He knew that, but He said there's such potential there. And I love them, and I want to have them, and some of them are going to choose me, and some are going to live in an intimate relationship with me, and all the joy that's going to be there in that relationship, and it's going to be great, and they'll spend forever with me in heaven. I love them. They love me. But He also knew some would not choose Him, and it breaks His heart. But I think it compares, that's the way children are with us sometimes. And even though there's some bad in life, God can use it for good. One philosopher said it this way: the meaning and purpose of suffering in history is that it leads to repentance. Only after suffering, only after disaster, does Israel, do nations, do individuals turn back to God. Suffering brings repentance, and we learn it the hard way oftentimes. C.S. Lewis says it this way: God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. When things are going great, life's trouble-free, you know, we're on a roll, no disappointments, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget the good things of God. So, it's like Joni Erickson Tada. You've heard her story and heard her talk probably a lot on the radio or what have you. And when she was paralyzed as a kid and was in this wheelchair and all this for however many years. And she says, if it took this for me to know God the way I know Him, it's worth it. God loves you, cares for you. And she's been quoted, I'd rather be in this wheelchair knowing God than on my feet without Him. So it makes sense. God can use any circumstance and turn it around for good. Romans 5:3 on the screen says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. We know that there'll be times of suffering. We know that it's going to produce perseverance. Like the old saying, no pain, no gain. And sometimes we go through that. Look with me at Hebrews on the screen, 12. Our Father disciplines us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Discipline don't seem good at the time, but sometimes it's necessary. It corrects behavior, and that's loving discipline. The worst thing you can do as parents, and you can take it any way you want to, and but the worst thing you can do is not correct your children when they're going down the wrong path. The worst thing you can do is not correct them and tell them the right way. The children don't run the home. The parents do. And it is to be done lovingly and kindness. But there's a discipline that God has talked about for us raising our children and for our relationship with Him. Well, the next slide says, God can accomplish something positive out of the negatives. I guarantee it. You've seen it. You've testified to it. We all have. God can accomplish something positive out of the negatives because He's a good God and He loves us, even though there's things in this world we don't understand. The story of Joseph, you know that story well. His brothers didn't like his dreams too good, especially that bowing down to him part. And they sold him into slavery. You know that he was falsely imprisoned, and Joseph went through a lot. And for the sake of time, we'll hit that very briefly. But toward the end of that story, you also know that Joseph saved his family and many other people from the great famine. And along those lines, he said, "You in Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God sees the big picture when sometimes we don't see it all. So we praise Him for His goodness. Look with me at Peter here, 2 Peter 3:9 on the screen. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know, God's got the big picture. He sees it all, and He loves us so much. And I don't want to minimize pain or suffering this morning, because I know it's real, and I know we all go through different stages of that. So I'm not trying to minimize what is real. But at the same time, I want us to understand Jesus says, "I've overcome the world." You'll have some trouble. There's things we won't understand in life. But listen, take heart. I've overcome the world, and He gives you hope. He gives us joy. He gives us a hope. He gives us a future. He knows the good things He has in store for us. But in this life, because of sin and a fallen world, there is things that happen around us that we don't understand. Paul, he suffered beatings and stonings and shipwrecks and all. And he said these words in 2 Corinthians. He said, "For our light and momentary troubles." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd been stoned and beaten and shipwrecked, that wouldn't seem light to me. That would be major to me. But we got to understand what he's saying. And he was flogged with 39 lashes, beaten. And he still says, "For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So Paul's saying, you know, these light and momentary things, that, you know, it's going to be okay. And he certainly, you know the story of Paul. It doesn't seem light to me. So with life, with unexpected things that happen, we turn bitter or we turn better. We rely upon the power of God in prayer and have faith and hope in Him, or we turn bitter. So I want you to know that suffering is not always bad. I want you to know that when we see videos of human trafficking, and again, I commend Doug and Lynn for their job and bringing that to us, you know, 2 years in a row now. But that's hard to watch, isn't it? It's just hard to watch some of those videos we saw here and to think about those things. But I thank God that God can work in suffering, that God can turn things around. That's part of His wonderful plan of redemption. The sin of mankind and how He saved us from that if we'll put our trust in Him. So I'm thankful that He can certainly help us and identify. So if you're broken in your spirit, do you think Jesus can identify with you? I guarantee you He can, because He was broken too. Well, somebody betrayed me, and this is called suffering. Listen, Jesus was betrayed. Jesus loved people, and they betrayed him. He can identify with us. It's not like he's just some distant God someplace. He's up close, and he's personal. And I want to read this to you. It was in a story about this 15-year-old girl who made a choice again. And the story is in 1993, where the Colombian guerrillas crossed the border into Panama and went to a village where her dad and two other missionaries were trying to make life better for a group of Indians. They kidnapped the missionaries. Many years later, they're still missing, and we don't know if they're dead or alive. And it goes on to talk about what happened to my dad, and what did God do to my dad, and you know, he was trying to help people find Jesus and that kind of thing. And then after a while, she penned these words, and I'd like to read them to you. There once was a man I once knew, who told me stories every night, laughed at my jokes, and held me tight. He told me, don't quit, always fight the good fight. He said, love the Lord with all your heart and serve him with all your might. He begged me, do right. There once was a man I once knew, who taught me how to tie my shoe and gently smiled at every picture I drew. He told me, when you start something, don't stop until the job is through. He said, I love you. There once was a man I once knew. I saw him in my dream and it made me scream. I called out, Daddy, but he told me nothing. He had nothing to say. For what can you say when you're so far, so very far away? Daddy, I said. Then a voice echoed in my head. I lay quietly and still in my bed. Again the voice, your daddy made a choice to serve me with all his might, to not give up, to fight the good fight. He's doing a job for me and is not yet through. So remember, I love you. There now is a man I know now. He lived and he died to save men from their sin. He made it possible for us to be born again. I know, because my daddy told me so. And even though he's no longer here, my God will always be near to fill in the gaps and show me which way to go. I miss my dad so much, but God has a plan. So for now, I'll just wait and watch the work of his hand. There once was a man I once knew. He's now just a memory, slowly fading away. Dead or alive, you ask? I do not know. I say, so I beg you, please pray. Pray for my daddy, that he knows that every night I whisper, Daddy, I love you. There now is a man I now know. Every day he comes more real to me. Every day in him I grow. Every day I pray that my love for him will show. I've made a choice to serve him with all my might, to not give up, to fight the good fight. Here on earth, I may not see my dad again, but that's all right, 'cause when my life here is through, I'll finally hear them both say, my child, I love you. Choices are to be made every day. We make choices. And I say to you today that the Lord himself loves you. And I know life's not always easy. We could go through the last few months and we could talk about tragedies in our community, some of them right here in the body of Christ at Jones Chapel. And we could look at the political scene, we could look around the world, and sometimes, because you and I are human, we do say, why? Why now? Lord, what is all this about? And we don't understand it. We see dimly right now, and one day we'll see it just like it is. But I encourage you today, whatever you are doing in life and whatever life is bringing to you, stick with the facts. Stick with the truth of the Word of God, that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He arose for you. And he's at the right hand of the Father today, interceding for you, no matter what you're going through. When life, it seems, is not fair, when bad things happen to good people and we don't understand, let me tell you, stick to the facts. Stick to the facts that God loves you. Jesus loves you. And no, we don't understand everything. We're not meant to. But Jesus says, take heart. I've overcome the world. And He's on your team. He loves you. So keep the faith and keep up the good work and the kingdom work. Would you stand with me? Our Father, this morning, we certainly don't claim to have all the answers. We believe we serve a God who does. We don't understand all the world scenes and the things that even are up close and personal to us. There's many things we just can't grasp. But Lord, we will stick to the facts today. We will stick to the Word of God who plainly tells us that we're loved by Almighty God. And You've proven it. And Lord Jesus, we honor You and we thank You for proving it, for dying for our sins and for being raised. And now that You're at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And Lord, I don't know the answer to so many of the questions that are asked of me as a pastor or just a Christian. Why this or how come or why didn't God? But we do know You're a loving God. And I pray that we'll all be the witnesses You want us to be to this glorious gospel. We'll be the witnesses on a daily basis wherever we're at school or work or at play, to tell others about You. So Father, there may be some standing right here today and they love You, they know they're saved and they're living for You. But right now, in all honesty, that why question is really big in their mind. Lord, why? Why did this happen or why isn't this happening? And I pray today would be a day of renewed faith, renewed hope in You, that You're working things out for our good, even those hard things we don't understand. So Lord, I don't know what that means to everybody here, but I pray we'll be open and honest and genuine with You, and that people will come and receive a blessing from Almighty God this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.